Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we're back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as promised, we're visiting with our friend Lou Malachier. Let me tell you a little bit about Lou. He's Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels. Milliken & Michaels is a privately held commercial debt recovery and financial services firm. And one of the things they do is help people manage their accounts receivable, collect money when they have difficulty, when companies have difficulty collecting money from customers. But the main thing that they do, and I know that they pride themselves in this, is making sure that if you are in the business of extending credit to customers, that you not only collect your money, but that you keep the customer in the process, because sometimes that can be hard to do. Lou, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us. And folks, that's what we're going to be talking about today is credit policies. And Lou, before we get started, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to remind my audience that you've got an outstanding book here that your company's prepared. It's called The Credit and Collections Handbook, and it's the credit and collection from the credit and collection experts, Milliken and Michaels. And folks, this is an outstanding book. It's well done. It has all the steps that you need to take to do a better job, do a good job of making sure that when you extend credit, that you extend it properly, that you've done the right research, done the right background, and it helps you to deal with customers as you extend them the credit and as you collect that money, from the sales that you've made. And I want to give away a copy or two of this book. It's a $100 book. That's what they charge when they sell it to people, and we've got one or two to give away today. If you'll answer one of my trivia questions, here are a couple of them. The Louisiana Purchase was officially consummated on this day in 1803. Who was the president that was responsible for the Louisiana Purchase? Also, in his country, Peter the Great on this day changed the year end from September 1st to January 1st. What was the country that Peter the Great was the leader of? And here's one more. Benjamin Franklin began the publication of his almanac on this day in 1732. What's the name of Benjamin Franklin's almanac? 888-822-8255. That's the number to use if you want to call, answer one of my trivia questions, or if you want to call and ask a credit policy question, I should say, of our special guest, Lou. Lou, let's talk about how to make sure that we extend credit properly. And one of the things that I know you guys talk about is how businesses can protect themselves when they extend credit.
Yes. That's right, Jim. I think that there's a couple of things that you can do. Certainly, I think that that when you extend credit, you're trying to make the sale. The purpose of credit, as I think we all know, is to help a business grow by making a sale without requiring the end user to pay you immediately. There's mm-hmm. there's a term you usually associate with your sale. Frequently, in terms of granting credit, businesses will pull a credit report or look to a credit application to help them make some determination as to the creditworthiness of their prospective customer.
Mm-hmm.
There are some simple things you can do. I mean, credit granting scoring systems can be done as easily as looking at an application and having a salesperson total up points or numbers assigned to each of the different elements of the credit application, or it can be done with a sophisticated scoring model such as one that's offered by the Experian company out of California. But the simplest way to do it is simply assign values to a credit application. For example, if they have three or four trade references that are current, you might assign that a 10. If they have a banking account that's local, you might assign 2 points to it. But whatever, you look at all the different points, and the salesperson, while in the field, can simply add up the points and know what your credit policy is.
Mm-hmm.
If your scale is, and it doesn't have to be, but let's assume for sake of argument, your scale totals 100 points. And the individual customer that you're trying to deal with has 75 points. Well, you might be willing to grant a certain credit line at that scoring level or point. So there's a number of ideas that circulate where you can have a salesperson at the time that the sale is made, or if the application is sent into your home office or your local office there, you can score it and make a determination based on just the content of the credit application.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lou, and I hear what you're saying, but to a lot of people out there who are small businesses, and I'm talking about, you know, we have business owners from all across the spectrum listening to the show because we've talked to them, and from many millions of dollars in sales a year to very small one person companies. But I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about this little company that's maybe a year or so old. They've got a couple of three employees, and they're doing maybe $500,000 a year in sales. And they are in the kind of business that does have to extend credit because it's just the way that their competitors do business, if nothing else. And it may be a little bit difficult for those people. They may not really understand how to develop a scoring system. They're not used to pulling credit reports and that sort of thing. What could we say to those people that would help them do a better job of extending credit so that it doesn't get too sophisticated?
Well, in the sense of the sale itself, I think that you can take a look at your own internal business operation and make some determination as to how much credit that you want to extend to any one given customer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just a fact that approximately somewhere around 8 to 10% of the businesses in the U.S. Fail every year. People start businesses with the hopes of capturing that American dream, and it just doesn't work out for a number of reasons. So you have to be able to look back and say, how much credit am I willing to grant? How much risk am I willing to take? And then, you know, just getting one trade reference. If someone's new in the business, just getting one small bit of information with someone with whom they're currently working.
I think
it'd be very beneficial.
I think trade references are a good example. We're going to talk some more about this, folks, when we come right back after these messages. Lou, stand by for a minute. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Lou Mollettiere. Lou is the Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels, a financial services company out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and they specialize in helping businesses collect their money when they need to, manage their accounts receivable, and help them with developing credit policies and a lot of different things like that businesses need. Lou, by the way, if anyone wanted to contact you to use your services or to find out if they can work with you, can you give us an 800 number and make
sure.
Your website?
Sure, absolutely. Our number is 800-735-6008. And if someone is interested and they call in, ask for me directly, and I'd love to speak with them and see what we could do to help them.
Okay. And later in the hour, folks, and after a few minutes from now, we're going to be letting Lou tell us a little bit more about the company and about some of the other services that they offer. But, Lou, right now, let's talk about how to develop a credit policy, a good credit policy in the company, and what we're going to make sure we do is, folks, is help you to establish these, whether you're a little company with one or two employees, or whether you're a big company as well. Lou, go ahead.
Okay, I think that exactly, Jim. Whether you're a very, very small company, an individual wearing many hats, doing the sales job and writing the checks, paying the bills. Or if you're running a larger operation that has afforded you the opportunity to hire some people to help you manage your sales function or your credit function, I think there are really three basic steps that every business should take when they grant credit to another company. You know, the first is that you need to gather information about the customer, and in particular, as you look at the kind of information that might apply to credit. You look at that information and you make a determination of credit worthiness. It could be anywhere from you know, $1,000 credit could be COD, or it could be credit that goes to the maximum that you feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make the credit decision. We generally talk about four C's of credit, and this might apply if you're a business owner and you're out calling on a client. You can do a lot of this visually. You don't even have to sit and write it all down. You could do it visually. You walk in and you look at an operation, and you just look at the operation itself. You know, you might call that the condition of the times. If it's a small operation and it's well kept, well run, if you're selling something where they're reselling a product or service, if the shelves are full and it just looks good, you can say that you think that at least it looks like the conditions of the operation are in pretty good shape. If you look at the character of the company, that's one way of measuring how well they honor their obligations, and that could be done through a simple check with a trade reference, or how willing they are, frankly, to give you some of their references.
You know, Lou, you said a trade reference, and I know you meant that just in general, doing that exercise. But the truth is, they probably need to get as many as the person will give them, at least two, if not three, trade references.
Absolutely. And look, I think that if you or I were giving out a trade reference, just like a small business owner, you're going to give out the references that you feel will be the most positive.
The good ones.
So
yeah.
So clearly you should get two or three references, and if it's a small business and they only have two references, take the two. But the idea should be that there should be some good positive response there, because they're the kind of references that are going to be provided.
Well, exactly. And if you have difficulty getting references, then there could be one or two reasons. Either they don't want to give you one because they don't have a good one, or if they say, which sometimes people will do, if they say, well, we just typically don't have any credit references because we haven't bought on credit anywhere else, there may be a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be a good answer.
Exactly. Yeah, and the other one is their capacity. If they're running a business, you know, a simple question of, can you give me your banker's name and telephone number so I can check on your banking relationships? That typically measures what kind of resources they have to draw upon. As we spoke in some of the other morning sessions, as you grow a business, it really drains all of your financial capacity to keep the business growing.
Mm-hmm.
To the extent that they're willing to give you a banking reference, that's a positive. To the extent that they're not, you have to tuck that away, because there may not be a banking reference out there, and they may not have the capital resources to continue the operation.
Exactly. All right, folks, stand by, Lou. We've got to take a break right now. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're going to help you. When we come back, Lou's going to help you design a credit policy for your company, small, medium, or large. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number if you want to give us a call and talk to us about this, or if you want to answer one of our trivia questions. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for being with us today and for allowing us to spend some of your morning with you. And also, thank you for the business. I want to make sure we say that. Lou Molitaire is Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels, a financial services company specializing in helping companies collect their debt recovery policies and helping companies develop credit policies so that when you extend credit to your customers, you don't lose a customer. And Lou, one of the things that I want us to point out is that a lot of small companies out there, you know, when we use this word small, that is a very subjective word. I mean, small could, to some people, small is 100 employees, and to other people, small is no employees, one, you know, just one owner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you and I talk about having a credit policy, some really, truly small companies with, as I mentioned earlier, have maybe just a few hundred thousand a year in sales and one or two employees, a little storefront or something like that. To those people, when you mention credit policy, that sounds like something big and unwieldy that they have to manage, and that they have to be very sophisticated to manage and all that. But the truth is, it's really nothing more than just a plan. It could almost be in your head. Obviously, it'd be better if it were written down. But a credit policy could be just your awareness that if you let this merchandise go out the door, you may not get it back if you don't handle it properly.
Well,
you may not get your money back, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. In fact, just to help put some numbers around our client base, we deal with the largest part of our client base are businesses with employees that range from 10 to 19 employees. The second largest group of businesses that we deal with are individuals that have businesses from 1 to 4 employees.
Is that right?
So if you look at the bulk of our 55,000 clients across the country, most of them have somewhere between 1 and 19 employees. So
you guys really specialize in what I consider to be true small business.
Absolutely. So when we talk about policy, I think you're absolutely correct that it should be written down. But look, we all have lots to do. When you're running an operation or a small business, you just don't have time to sit and formalize a program. But it should be in your head. For example, I think that the policy itself, you should have some notion in your mind as to the approach that you want to take with granting credit. For example, some businesses want or need a liberal credit policy versus other businesses that have to maintain a conservative credit policy. An example for liberal credit policies, you could be in a highly competitive business world and you have to grant credit simply because they're the terms and conditions that the other people similarly situated are willing to make. You might be in a new industry. You might have a high gross profit margin for your products, which allow you to be more liberal. Maybe your product is on its declining years, or your service, and you're trying to find a new product or service, or maybe you even have done both. So you grant a more liberal credit policy on your declining product, and you keep a more stringent credit policy on the product that has just been developed.
Well, another thing on for the small businesses, the really small businesses, is more than likely you're right there at ground zero when the sale is being made, and you can make a decision yourself as the owner: am I going to extend this credit, or how am I going to extend this credit?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think that when you approach credit as a small business owner or manager, you need to start with the basic premise of what is my whole approach to my business model, so that I know whether I want to maintain a conservative credit policy or I feel as though I can be very liberal in what I want to offer. I can take the risk of extending credit, knowing that I'm going to wind up with higher losses on the credit side, but I gain more through the sales that I make with the other businesses.
One of the saddest experiences that I have, Lou, is when I meet small businesses who have only been in business for a few months, maybe a year or so, and their primary goal when they started their business was to get somebody to do business with them. They opened up a brand new business. They didn't buy an existing company. They opened up a brand new one, and just to get somebody to come in the door and do business with them, it was an honor. I mean, they were just tickled at that. They felt like they had accomplished their mission by getting this person to say, "I will take this."
Right.
And the guy left with their stuff, but they never got in. They never got paid for it, they weren't able to get their merchandise back. And so here they had all these sales, but only part of them were paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And so they literally were failing or had failed because they had no idea about how to extend credit. And they didn't realize and this may be hard for some people to believe, Lou, but they didn't realize that they were extending credit. Mm-hmm. In other words, that concept never really entered their mind. They thought they were making a sale.
Right, right.
And yes, they were making a sale, but the moment that person clears your front door, you've extended credit. If they haven't left you the money, the moment they leave your front door or you leave it with them at their business, you've extended them credit.
Absolutely.
And you're no different. At that moment, you're no different from a bank. And the one thing, pardon me, Lou, I'll just make this one other point, and that is that I have had people tell me this, and I think it's the right thing to say: I am not a bank.
Absolutely correct.
You know, and anyway. All right. The break slipped up on us there, Lou. I'm going to let you finish your thought when we come right back after these messages. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I get excited sometimes when I think about how we can help people keep from making mistakes like I have seen before. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to talk to me or my special guest, Lou Molitier, who's Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels, a financial services company which specializes in commercial debt recovery, helping you not only collect your receivables, but helping you at the front on the front end before you extend credit, making sure that you have good credit policies so that when you make the sale, you collect your money, and most importantly, you keep the customer. And Lou, that's a big deal to me, and I'm glad to know that that's the focus that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as just before we took the break a minute ago, I was saying that one of the things that I tell my clients when we're talking about these kinds of things is, remember, you're not a bank. You don't have the money to be a banker. You don't have the expertise to manage the way that bankers do. And so don't try to become a bank just to make a sale. So, and I know that's something that you guys counsel your clients on too.
Absolutely. I think that, the simple fact is that if you have money that's sitting out that's not collected, that's money that you can't put back to work for you to help run and manage your business and grow your own business.
Right.
A serious financial drain. Jim, I'd like to add one point to, you know, right before the break, you mentioned getting out, making the sale, and being excited about making the sale and not really closing on the payment. I think that that's an excellent point, and I would suggest that a good, sound credit policy is that when you make a sale, that number one, the buyer clearly understands what the terms of the sale are regarding payment.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a discount that's to be offered, when is it? How? What's the time limit on it? And when's the bill due? When is payment due on it? We suggest strongly that businesses confirm the payment and the amount and the requirements in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Your invoice is $2,000. You have the opportunity to take a 2% discount within 10 days. It's due in full in 30. Whatever your terms are, it should be in writing and clearly communicated to the buyer.
You know, I have a small company that when I bought it, I put someone in charge of it that I thought knew what they were doing, and in order to make a sale, they extended some credit. And I did not have good control over the credit policy of that company, and for a while, for several months there, we did some business that I've never been able to collect on.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hold of that and stopped that and established what probably you would consider to be a rudimentary credit policy, but it is a credit policy nonetheless. And now in several years, I have not even had one check that I didn't collect on. I don't even have bad checks anymore, let alone, if this is a construction company, and let alone anybody that I installed anything, and we installed anything on their property that we don't collect on. And it was strictly by installing something, I let my employees know, and I let my customers know that this is how we expect to be paid. And we have had no problems now in about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We were talking with one of our larger clients a few months back, and there was a young lady who was a credit granter for this business, and we were talking about credit policies, and she raised her hand and said, well, you know, I don't think it's right to ask all these questions. Help me understand what you mean. She said, well, I think a lot of this information could be very personal in nature, particularly when you're dealing with small businesses. And therefore, she felt that it was somewhat of an intrusion to ask the questions. And I think that, that kind of mindset is the mindset that gets you into trouble because, look, you're in business to earn money. You have a good, valuable product or service, and you have a right to expect that you're paid in a timely fashion.
Right.
You didn't enter into the deal knowingly becoming a banker. You entered into the transaction thinking that you were going to develop a positive relationship with a good client over the long term.
Well, Well, you know, that person should have sat in on the meeting of that owner's that owner had with the bank or with an investor or whoever when they started that business and heard all the questions that they were asked.
Right. Exactly.
It all gets passed down, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Absolutely does.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. That sounds like that girl needed another job.
Well,
I
suggested to her, I said, well, look, if you feel as though it's not the right kind of information to ask, I said, you know, do you feel you still need to grant credit? And she said, well, don't you think we should? And I said, well, absolutely not. If someone's telling you that they think that the information that you're asking for is too personal, you ought to make sure that you understand you reserve the right not to grant credit or to grant credit to a lesser degree. But, you know, because you need that information to make a sound credit decision doesn't mean that you should go ahead and grant credit if they're unwilling to provide it. So, you know, you have that right not to have to grant credit if someone can't provide you the information.
Well, you know, one of the things that I tell my employees, only somewhat with my tongue in my cheek, and that is that you know, imagine that your payday, your next paycheck, depends on me being able to collect this money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after a while of saying that, they finally get the point that you know, that could possibly be the truth.
Right.
All right, folks, we've got to take a break. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Lou Moliterre, Vice President of Marketing for Milliken & Michaels, a financial services company. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, folks. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is Lou Moliterre with Milliken & Michaels. Lou, take a second and tell us a little bit about Milliken & Michaels.
Sure, I'd love to do that. Jim, we work with businesses, and we try and offer a full range of products or services to help businesses grant credit and then manage the credit or the accounts receivable after the sale's been made. We have a special relationship with Experian Credit Reporting. We offer credit reports at a very, very attractive price. For businesses, a number of different types of reports are available that can help businesses make informed decisions on credit granting. We also have a collections function, and that's the biggest part of our operation. We do commercial debt recovery, simply meaning that we collect from businesses on behalf of other businesses debt that they're unable to collect. And then the other group that we work with is our legal forwarding group. To the extent that we're unable to collect or affect collections for them, we refer the debt through our legal forwarding department. Mm-hmm. That department manages the litigation process when you have to go that route to try and recover your funds.
Right. All right. Good. Well, I'll tell you, Lou, you know, as I hear you telling us what you do, you know, some of the things that you do, one side of what you do is very positive and very proactive and very beneficial to companies. You help them make sure that they don't need you as a resource.
Right, exactly.
And the other side is kind of the negative side, I guess. And I say negative because it's never fun when you have to collect money from people who aren't paying.
That's right.
But somebody's got to do. What is it you say? It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
That's right. It's a billion-dollar job.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Lou, let's move on and talk about the credit application. I know you've got some things you want to tell my audience about the credit application.
Yeah, I do. I think that there's a couple of, you know, we started to talk about it briefly earlier on the show, but I think that there's just simply a couple of bits of information that someone ought to have when they're willing to grant credit to another business. I think that certainly you get the name, address of the business, and so on, and that's all information that you need for the purposes of maintaining client records. But there's a couple of other areas that can be very, very helpful to a business when they grant credit. We talked about one of them, which is a trade reference, meaning that you get a reference from someone else that has granted this business credit to determine how well and how frequently they're paying their debt. Very important. I would suggest you get two trade references at the time that you're making the sale. The other is, you know, from time to time, you could get a customer reference from the business and say, who are the people that you sell to? Tell me a little bit about them, or give me a name or two of your customers.
Who are some other people you do business with?
Yeah. That's exactly right. And then you'll get a sense of, particularly if you're a small business but your average dollar sale is high, you ought to know that the customers of the business that you're dealing with are happy individuals. Otherwise, you're going to be granting credit to a business that does not have a positive relationship with customers and ultimately will or could end up into trouble.
Right. Good one.
You know, and then there's, the other part of the credit application, I believe, should include the terms where the individual knows what they have to pay and when, and that can be spelled out in a nice, neat little, in fact, the application at that point can be used as a closing tool where you say, look, here are your terms, here's the pen, please sign here.
Press hard, you're going through 7 copies, the last copy is yours.
That's right, exactly.
Hey, Lou, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much. You did a great job today, provided a great service for my audience. Looking forward to having you back. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too, Jim.
Thanks, Lou. All right, folks, got to go for right now. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.